Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 23, Text 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hey Bhumi Deva Srinuta Krishnasya Deshakarina Bhaptan Janata Bhadramvo Gopano Ramachoditam. The cowherd boy said, O earthly gods, please hear us. We cowherd boys are executing the orders of Krishna, and we've been sent here by Balaram. We wish all good for you. Please acknowledge our arrival. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Taksuru Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripashindu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Excuse me. Greetings from Sri Vrindavan. This is my last day here. Tomorrow I go to Delhi. And then early the next morning, I fly to Sri Dhammayapur. But it's really wonderful for me here. Mainly, every afternoon I give class, and we're getting such a nice group of people going deeply into the Shastra. You know, people that I know for many, many years coming again and again, and it's just such a wonderful exchange. Guyam Atyachi Pichati, to explain in confidence and to inquire in confidence. It's one of the two of the six ways in which we exchange bhakti or devotion in the world. Giving prasad, taking prasadam, acquiring in confidence, explaining in confidence, giving gifts, accepting gifts. And that enables you in the world to experience the Vrindavan mood. Vrindavan is the land of consciousness at perfection. The soul is conscious, and the perfection of that consciousness is love. So the ultimate reality is consciousness expressed fully as love. And love means selfless exchange. So we have to live that life of love. Really by vigilantly, not in consciousness, moving towards the center, but moving towards the plane of service. Plane of service is following the inspiration of God's will, which comes down from through His pure devotees. And following that will draws the soul into a spiritual plane, but following the will of the selfish desires, the platform of the ego, situates us in material world and material consciousness. So it's just nice here in Vrindavan in a Bodhyantas Parasparam, Machita Matkita Prana Bodhyantas Parasparam, that the Bhagavad Gita describes a spiritual society where people Machita Matkita Prana, that God is one's heart, Machita Matkita, it's goal, prana, it's your food, it's your life, actually. The soul is our life, so love, the full expression of the soul, is our life. And that doesn't, that life is not led in material consciousness. And Bodhyantas Parasparam, and when you have that life, you chant here about Krishna, because that's the main symptom of the soul's expression of consciousness and perfection. Just like kirtan is what? It's when the bhava in the heart is expressed. So it's nice to be in an assembly of people with bhava. Actually, the people have bhava. I can't say it's the dawn of the awakening of prema of love of Godhead, prema ankur, the sprout of prema, but they have bhava. People come to Vrindavan, they have bhava, they have sentiment. And the ones that come to hear are very eager to hear. That's an expression of bhakti. I've always said many times that you are bhakti is your and your level, your desire and eagerness to hear. They're commensurate, they're equal. So that's the expression of consciousness. In perfection, kirtan, when the bhava in the heart is expressed. It's natural when you have emotions, they're expressed in action. So the main action of the emotion of devotion or love is kirtan, to chant and hear about Krishna. And it's so important, actually, to have a life that prioritizes this. It's so important because what the mind is where the mind will go. Where the mind is what the mind was. What the body is what the mind was. What the karma is what the mind was. So whatever thoughts we have from any contact with any object creates an impression in the mind that is not inactive, and it registers in the mind, and then at some particular time it's forced to come out and act in a way that you create further vrittis or thoughts. So that's what your mind is. It's your samskaras. It's the imprints of your thoughts based on your actions. That's what your mind is. And a serious spiritual person is very, very cautious and cognizant what imprints they make in the mind. That's why we're not attracted to Krishna consciousness, or that's why we're attracted to something. That's why we have compulsions. That's why we have likes. That's why some people have Raganuga Bhakti. people have bhakti, attraction, because they are careful what they associated with, what thoughts were invoked, and what impressions those thoughts imprinted on the consciousness. So our business is to be vigilant. What we associate with, what thoughts we have, and therefore what mind we make. Because everything is based on the mind. Your happiness is based on the mind. Your spirituality is based on the mind. And we are responsible for what our mind is. It's nice to be in the Sangha of people with bhava, who have these imprints based on pleasurable thoughts of engagement with objects and acts of devotion, whose hopes and desires for Krishna are mature. So the perfection of consciousness is when there is nothing else in the consciousness except imprints, that imprints of attraction for Krishna, that invoke thoughts for Krishna, that create further imprints. The spiritual life means to increase the desires for the service, association, and relationship with Krishna. So this is a very nice story here. The cowboys express their hunger to Krishna, and therefore their love for Krishna. Because when you love someone, you depend on them. So they love Krishna, and he was their shelter. So therefore they asked him for that shelter. It's an expression of love. You are my friend. You are my maintainer. O chastiser, the enemy. The worst enemy is hunger. People sometimes experience hunger. So Krishna, thinking how to please his devotees, who are lamenting in separation. And what is the devotee? The one who is absorbed, whose mind is imbued with love for Krishna. So that kind of consciousness. That's why in bhakti, in this world, we cultivate separation, because it's the expression of love in absence of the object of your lover. But the proximity to Krishna becomes the level of our separation, because Krishna is there in his bhava, in his love. And basically, that love in the heart is a voice. It's a voice. The voice of the desires in the heart to serve Krishna. If we search our consciousness now, we may be angry at someone. That's a desire for revenge. We may be hankering after something material. We may have so many consuming desires in the heart, but somehow or other, by mercy of Guru and Krishna, we have some impressions, we have some desire that we want to serve Krishna. What spiritual life means is to locate that desire and increase that desire. Until that desire becomes the loudest or most consuming voice in the mind. And that type of heart, because Krishna can hear that voice of our desires. And when the voice of that desire becomes loud enough, which is a need for the shelter of God, in this story we're going to see the brahmanas, and they see how advanced their wives come when their wives, in separation from Krishna, are trembling and perspiring, and their hairs are standing on end and their voices are faltering. And then they realize that they did not take a veil of what God offered to them. And then from that deep, deep remorse, the frank admittance of our frailties and mistakes, when the fire of that acceptance starts to burn the false ego, which is that voice, I am the controller and the enjoyer, I am perfect. But when there's remorse, we bring another idea into the consciousness. I was wrong. And that is antithetical to the false conception that I am perfect. And when you accept that, and when you enter into remorse, then naturally what happens is you develop this appreciation for Krishna's mercy. You recognize Krishna's mercy. And when you recognize Krishna's mercy, because mercy means what? I am not qualified. You only experience mercy when you feel I am not qualified. So when you experience mercy, it means an acknowledgement of your lack of qualification and your need for mercy. And at that point, there's an experience of God's love. So Krishna's hearing the voice of his devotees lamenting in separation. The humble voice of devotees. So that is our spiritual life. Because that will attract Krishna. So seeing that, Krishna sends the cowherd boys to beg some food. And he asked them that, first announce my name. Announcing my name, that's Kirtan. And that will purify the atmosphere of these Brahma Vadina, these people that are learned in the Vedas, but do not know the import of the Vedas. It's an interesting phenomena in studying sacred texts. You can't see what's there unless you want what's there. If you don't want to surrender to Guru and Krishna, then somehow you won't see that. In the sacred texts. So these Brahmins, they are Brahmavadina. They're learned in the injunctions, but they don't understand the import of the injunctions because they don't want to surrender to Guru and Krishna. Yasya deve parabhaktir tata deve tata. For one who has implicit faith in the Supreme Lord and the spiritual master, the imports of the Vedas are revealed. Implicit faith that what? Krishna is my shelter. Because you can't see that unless you're in a proper consciousness. False prestige is so antithetical to devotion. Because if one has pratishta, the desire for distinction to control, you want distinction to center yourself so people become amenable to the fulfillment of your desires. So, that's Brahmavadina. They don't have the understanding. So do kirtan, help them. Then maybe they can render some service. But here, the cowherd boys addressing them as earthly gods, those supposed to represent the will of God, the representative of God, please hear us. And he says, Bhadra, why? Because we're offering you service. There's nothing more auspicious than service, which is the service means to understand the will of God, what God wants. And you get a specific need of the divine. This is what I want. And therefore, by that service, you can please God. And by pleasing God, actually please yourself. So there's nothing more auspicious than service. So they say, Bhadram, we wish all auspiciousness to you. It's all good for you. But they can't appreciate service because of false prestige. Because of the desire to control and enjoy, the so-called good qualities they have only increase their ego. They use them to control. Knowledge is power. They use them to control the world. I am aristocratic. That positions me to enjoy the world. I am Brahmin. I am celibate. I am learned. And when that happens, you can't become a devotee. Because becoming a devotee means to serve a devotee. Not only to serve a devotee, but to be the servant of the servant of the servant of the servant of the devotee.
That is, that position of spirituality becomes abhorrent to one on a path of envy. And fruitive activities is the path of envy. To establish oneself more. So we ask them to acknowledge their arrival. And he tells them that Ram and Krishna, they're herding the cows not far from here. And that is such a beautiful thing. There's nothing more beautiful than Krishna with his beautiful white cows. Of course, he has many different colors. There's nothing more beautiful than Krishna with his bluish complexion and the flowers in his ears and his cascading black hair and his Vaijanti Mala and his peacock feather and his graceful movements like a dancer. There's nothing more beautiful than Krishna. So they're tending the cows. The cowherd boys say they're tending the cows. And they're hungry. And anyone who is hungry is a fit candidate for food and for receiving charity. And if you don't recognize God, and if you do not recognize the value of service to God, then they say, Puyodvija Odinam Artina Yadi. Then you are Dvija, not twice born, but born from two parents. Meaning what? Not extraordinary, not Brahmin, not twice born, born from two parents, very ordinary, with no distinction. Oh, Dvija, you decide if you're twice born or born of two parents. And if you have faith, he said, then give food to them. If you have faith, if you have trust, trust in what? The sublimity of serving the divine. And the degree that you have that conviction, and the degree that you're tasting the sublimity of the divine, is the degree that you will value that. I've been making this point over and over again. That the fortune in life is having trust in the sublimity of objects that can actually give you happiness and love. And misfortune is your trust and faith in objects that are not fulfilling, but somehow we're trusting it. People have faith in heroin, but it ruins their lives. People have faith in alcohol, but it ruins their life. People have faith in illicit sex, but it ruins their life. Have faith in things that actually do not lead to sublimity. He's saying, the cowherd boy is saying, if best of the knowers, dharma vittamaha. If you know, if you're the best of knowers, if you have faith, if you have that fortune to have trust in the thing that actually can satisfy the heart, which is service, which is the expression of consciousness, is service that illuminates consciousness and brings consciousness to the perfection of love. If you have faith, O best of the knower of religions. But if you don't have faith, you're not the best of the knower of religions. Then, a Vaishnava guru nasyat, then you cannot become a guru. You cannot become a Brahmin. The Brahmins heard this supplication from the Supreme Lord, yet they refused to pay heed. Indeed, they were full of petty desires and entangled in elaborate rituals. Though presuming themselves advanced in learning, they were actually fools. Asochan anvasochas tvam pragyavadam jabashase. Arjuna, although you are speaking learned words, you're a fool. Because the wise lament neither for the living nor the dead. The wise lament for the ignorance that causes the one to identify with the body, not the changing of the body. We may be in separation from someone who passes away, but the real lamentation is not that someone that passes away. The real lamentation is that people did not have knowledge and passed away. People did not have realization and passed away. That's what we lament for. That's where our hearts and our compassion goes out. Not just people are changing bodies, but people suffer that because they identify with it. And people fear that because they don't have proper understanding of it. So, the Brahmins heard this supplication, but they did not hear. Shinvato pi nishushruva vu. They did not hear. And there's a reason they didn't hear. And the reason they didn't hear is buri karmana and shuddha asha. They're full of very petty desires. And therefore, they can't hear. They heard, but they didn't hear. They heard the supplication, but they didn't hear. I remember when I grew up, and somehow or other, I was so antithetical to chores around the house. It just wasn't really so much in my culture. But sometimes my parents felt I should have chores. So I was supposed to take out the garbage. So my mother would say, take out the garbage. And I said, I'm going to take it out. My mother said, take out the garbage. I will, I will. An hour later, would you please take out the garbage? I'm doing it. I heard the supplication, but I didn't hear it. Why? Because I didn't want to do it.
I didn't want that service because it wasn't according to my desires. It was according to the family's desires. So when you have petty desires, you can't hear. You can't hear God. You can't hear the voice in the heart. The Bhagavad Gita, it says, when the senses are controlled, the super soul is at reach. You can't hear. Hearing is not just the vibration in the outer ear, it's the focus of the consciousness on that to register it in the buddhi or the intelligence. And if it's an instruction for service and surrender, if you don't have sufficient imprints of goodness, of discipline, of knowledge, of understanding, you won't focus the mind there so that that instruction can register in a way that you can take action on it. So here's the Brahmins. They had independent desires, and therefore, subconsciously, they would not focus their attention in a way that they can assimilate or even hear God's voice wanting to offer them service. Be with you in 1 second. Are there any questions?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, the Brahmanas, they were learned, but they didn't understand the objective of their learning. And so when we say that somebody is learned, you know, but they don't understand, they don't get the import, what is it that they know? They're just simply able to recite like a parrot what is in the scriptures? What do they know, actually? If we call them learned, what do they know? It's not the imports that they know. What do they know?
Well, I mean, there may be stories, there may be verses, you know, but there's a depth of understanding. There's a realization of understanding. So it's described, just like I always quote, in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, Jiva Goswami's commentary, where he says, when one hears the Shastra just once, Krishna is arrested in the heart. And then he explains then why doesn't that happen to us? And then he's explained that we really don't want the message. So it takes some kind of depth of understanding to hear things purely. I mean, we filter things through our intelligence, which is conditioned in ways. So we kind of know the Shastra, but not the pure meaning of the Shastra. Prabhupada gives the example that Krishna is telling Arjuna to surrender to him. And then the commentator on the Bhagavad Gita says it is not to Krishna that one has to surrender, but the unborn eternal within Krishna. And then Prabhupada quotes in the verse in the Upanishads, Deha Dehi Nabedyo Yam Neshvare Vidyate Kuchit. then the absolute truth is no difference from the deha and the dehi, the body and the possessor of the body. And that Krishna is standing right before Arjuna saying, surrender to me, and they're saying not to Krishna. So what did they understand? They understood what Krishna said, right? But they didn't have the proper... They understood what Krishna said, but they didn't understand the meaning of what Krishna said. And a lot of times, the reason why people don't understand is because they don't want to understand that particular point. So people kind of basically hear what they want. They may be very, very learned. I mean, you know, a person can know so many verses, so many stories, but miss out on the depth of import of it. And therefore, real reading of Shastra is accompanied by a desire or mood to be transformed. Otherwise, you can read Shastra for power, because knowledge is power. If you're learned, people will respect you. If you're learned, you'll put people in position to fulfill your desires. So it's not the same as reading the Shastra to be transformed. And also understand that the Shastra is considered Chit Shakti. It's considered consciousness. It's also very personal. It's also revelatory. Beyond the ink, beyond the paper, there's Krishna, and there's Krishna's message. Look how many people, translations there are of Bhagavad Gita. And I bet you people know every verse, and they have an interpretation of it. They have a meaning of it, right? They can speak on it. But they have their own meanings based on their own perspective and desires, because they're not wanting to surrender to Krishna, and therefore they don't want to hear that message, even though it's there. So what do they learn it in? They learn it in the verses, and they have a meaning that lacks the essence or depth.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Anybody else like to ask a question?
Hi, Bob Maharaj.
Hi, Bob. Was it Indrani?
Yes, Maharaj. I want to thank you. Can you hear me?
Can
you hear me? I want to thank you for this morning's class. It has given me the outline for my spiritual New Year's resolution. It has built. I can't put into words, but I want to thank you, and I want to say to you, Krishna bless you to continue this teaching. And as long as I'm here, I will be here to listen to answer questions. I said this before, but things that I'm going through my mind, and I hear your class, and I got my answers. I thank you. I appreciate you. And may the coming year you continue being an agent for Krishna's messages to us all. Thank you so much.
Mother Indrani, thank you so much. And I think you demonstrated the point in my lecture that the words and the meaning are directly related to one's yearning and humility in approaching the text. You know, so thank you so much, and we wish you a very good new year. You know. know, Mother and Johnny, and we wish everyone a very good New Year. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the wonderful class.
Wow. Thank you, Henry. Thank you. I'm on my way.
I agree with...
Thank you. Hopefully I'll be there in just a few months. Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thank you so much. Really. Yeah. I appreciate all the regular sinners and hearers on the... Today was a long day. Literally, I don't know why, but I a few days I've been up at before 1 o'clock in the morning because I generally don't go to bed so late. So it's been quite a long, long day. And then I had a class. There's a Russian Vaishnav community, and they celebrate Christmas. And I know the person is the president of the Russian Vaishnav community. So he really begged me that I can be in their program. And they put on, like, this incredible Christmas program. You know, a lot of them are very talented. And anyway, there was kirtan, and I spoke some Krishna lila. And then, you know, in the back, I don't know, the floors came in. So Krishna came, this beautiful person dressed as Krishna, and welcoming everybody and wishing them a new year. And then Santa Claus came and paid obeisances to Krishna. And then, I don't know, there's some kind of Russian traditions there. And they have, you know, the dramas and things throughout the day. Anyway, I gave the class. I didn't stay long after that. And then after that class, then I went back to my place, and then I gave my class, and then met and talked to people. And that's why I ended the class a little bit early, because what happens is the mind needs to maintain a certain level of concentration to get the, like, a flow to continue. And as the points are going, kind of the mind kind of loses track. Where normally it was more alert, it would keep on going. So, but I thought I would get a chance to just say hello to you and wish you all a good New Year. Anyone else like to say hello?
Hare Bol, Maharaj.
Good time to see you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Gopa Kishore.
Gopa, great. We'll see you in, I guess, a week or two.
Yeah, a couple of weeks.
Okay, looking forward to seeing you. You'll really enjoy Mayapur.
Yeah, Let me
know again when your flight information is, so when you come in, you can, at least the first day you come in, you can join me for prasadam. And
okay.
It's really good.
Okay.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Greetings from New York.
Who is it?
It's Tiffany. Yeah.
Wow, thanks. Yeah. Well, thank you. Happy New Year, Tiffany.
Happy New Year. Just wanted to say hello.
Oh, I'm so happy that you can. I appreciate it. And that's how I know you, from listening to my classes. Okay, I heard
really
there's something at the bottom. Go ahead. What were you saying?
Tonight. Something tonight. Yeah.
Something at the Bhakti Center. Radhanath Swami's there. And they're going to have some kind of New Year's class and kirtan. And a few programs. Yes. Maybe you can make
I'm looking forward to going to it.
I
thank you for your love.
In Vrindavan sometime.
Yeah.
Not this year, the next.
Well.
Okay, thank you. Okay,
thank
great.
You.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Guru Maharaj, this is Ajrave.
This is Jai Radhe. Happy New Year to you and your family.
Thank you, Maharaj. Happy New Year
pray
to you.
Thunder in New Jersey. Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else?
Take a question.
Thank you all, and thank you for being tolerant that I could end a little early and crash out here, wake up tomorrow and then chant and then get ready to go to Delhi for the day. And somehow by Krishna's grace, I should say, I have amazing accommodations here in Vrindavan. I mean, it's quite something. And it just, you know, I don't even have a place now. I was staying at Bori John's, and he was coming back from Govardhan, and a couple of days before I was walking, and right next to the temple. It's really a great place, great area. It's like, go out the MBT. There's a gate on the left back left-hand wall, and it has a little places there. And there's one very, very nice house, and the person invited me for prasadam. His name is Shrestha. He's from Washington. He's Indian, but he serves in Washington. And then I remembered a friend of mine today. They asked me had a place, and he had a beautiful apartment. I have a beautiful lodge, too, like a living room and another room next to it, where I'm able to give class. And generally, it's full, so it's been a great facility for me. Anybody else like to say hello? Okay, we'll go now then. Thank you all. Why don't you go through this shot?